So we're at Oberlin College. It's October 30th, and we're here to interview
George.
Thanks for being here, George.
Thank you for having us. So, what are you guys doing?
Do you want to start by introducing yourself
very briefly? Sure. My name is George Bacci. That's how you pronounce it. Some people pronounce it Beatty in American United States. That's okay. But I was born in Homestead, Pennsylvania, and I've been playing music probably 48 years maybe, something like that, maybe longer, somewhere around there. And I play primarily in Pittsburgh, PA, but I travel all over. I mean, I go to Cleveland, Chicago, I played in New York, I played in St. Louis, Minneapolis, where else, Kansas City. I went in 1991, I went to Slovakia. I toured with a group there for 10 days. It was really nice. We had 5 musicians and we had about 12 dancers. And we toured for like 10 days there. It was really nice. And, you know, I play with several different bands, but I have my own band called Gypsy Strings. One is with these guys, where we do traditional Hungarian music. Then I have one back in Pittsburgh where we do Hungarian, but we do like Romanian, Slovak, Croatian, Serbian stuff. And those guys are all Duke University graduates, musicians. Except for me, I went to another school. I studied for about 2 years in Chatham School of Music. Like I said, we play all over the place. I mean, I've been playing since I was a little kid, and then, you know, when I got older, I went to study, and my father wanted me to learn how to read music. So I had to go read music, so I did that, but I didn't really like it. You know, and my violin teacher would say, "Did you practice this weekend?" I said, "Sure." I didn't practice. But I knew the stuff, so it didn't matter. But then he says, "Okay." He says, "Well," he says, "you know what?" He says, "instead of you coming to the college," he said, "I would like you to come to my house also." So I would go to his house, you know, and he'd teach me all kinds of stuff there. And he says, "Well," he said, "there's not too much more that I can really teach you." This was like after a year and a half, 2 years. So I says, "Okay." And then that's when I started playing with other guys, you know, in the Pittsburgh area. But I play several different instruments, but my instrument mainly is violin. I play drums a little bit, play bass, I play guitar, you know, no piano. No. I wish I could play piano, but never learned it. And that's probably about it.
So backtracking back to your childhood, How did you start playing the violin? How did you start getting into music?
My whole family. They all played. My father played clarinet and saxophone. And his father was a violinist. He came from Slovakia, Košice, Slovakia. And then on my mother's side, her father was a clarinetist. He came from the Hungarian part of Slovakia, which was called Kasha. So they all played, and then my uncles all played. My brothers play, but they don't play like professionally out like I do. We did just play for their own enjoyment. When I was a little kid, I used to watch them all. They got together all the time, and they played and practiced. And I used to watch them play. So, like I said, when I was young, my grandmother told my father, because she didn't speak any English. She spoke Slovak, Hungarian, and Romani. So she told him, she said, "You better get him a violin. He wants to play, you know." So my father got me a little plastic violin. I got pictures of it. I'm like, "Oh my God." You know, and I'm posing like this with the violin and everything. And I even posted a picture of me like that on Facebook. There's people commenting. He says, "How old are you?" I says, "I don't know, 5 years old." He says, "You look like you already know how to play." I said, "Yeah, well, I used to watch them, so." But then I started, you know, playing a little bit with the guys, and practicing a lot, practicing a lot. I got better and better, and then that's when my dad, he was 10 years old. He says he wanted me to go to this Chatham School of Music. It was in Squirrel Hill, PA. And the teacher was, his name was Jack Goldman. And he was with the Pittsburgh Symphony. Very good violinist. And he heard me when I came to there, he heard me play, and he says, I have to take you to our professor. I want to hear you play. So then I started, studying with him. It was good. I mean, he taught me a lot of stuff. He taught me how to read and everything. Then after, like I said, I just kept it up. I love playing music. Although I worked a full-time job, too, and playing. So these days you can't just play music unless you're a rap artist or something, But I played with several different groups. I used to have a country western band. I played bass with them. Then I played with a salsa band for 4 years. But we were playing four nights a week. It was a great band, but I played bass with them. Strictly bass, I play nothing else. And I play with other different groups, It's still like that today. Whoever calls me to play, if they need a bass or if they need a violin or they need something, they'll call me to play.
What's your favorite genre of music to play?
What I play now, Hungarian Gypsy music. It's my favorite. Then it goes to like salsa music. I've even played like R&B and stuff. We did shows in Pittsburgh.
What do you like so much about Hungarian?
The feeling. It's our heritage, and I just love playing this stuff, There's nobody out here really. The younger generation of our musicians, they play everything else, but they don't play that. I even wanted to be in this other guy that was supposed to be here, Alex Uvani. He was a Seminole player. We were going to start like a little school, like teaching them how to play this kind of stuff. And there's all kind of people. I even had like people come to this restaurant where I used to play, and they were simply players. And they're like, oh, we'd like to study with you a little bit. What are you going to study with me? You guys are great. He says, yeah, but we want to learn the style of the way you play the Hungarian stuff and all that. I'm like, wow. So, but that's my favorite, just the style. But, like I said, I like salsa music also. That's like second. But I like all music. I mean, I listen to everything, I play all kinds of stuff, so.
Okay, what else? Can you talk more about, how was, Hungarian, Romani, heritage,
present in your childhood? Yeah, well, see, our grandparents came over from Slovakia and Hungary, and they spoke Romani, and they spoke Slovak, and my grandmothers both spoke Slovak, so I would go visit them. They talked no English. So I would listen to them and I'd answer them back in English because I didn't know how to speak it yet. And they'd talk to me in Slovak. I understood what they were saying and they were talking Romani. Well, I learned how to speak that later on. We have all kinds of gypsies all over Europe. You have every country you have somebody. But you have different kinds of gypsies. You have we are musicians. Then you have the travelers, what they call the travelers, and they're completely different than us, They speak differently and everything else,
What kinds of traditions or rituals could you do in your household as part of this culture?
Well, as traditions, for weddings, well, they go and they play at the house of the bride. And I'll march her out to the church, and then they'll play at the church. Naturally, they play at the reception, too. And we have traditions at funerals also, when the gypsy dies. You know, we go play at the funeral home. We even have a certain song that we play, like, you know, when they're marching in the casket out there. I even recorded it. You know, so the people would know what that was, you know. And it's on one of our CDs we did. And, you know, but basically that's probably it. We don't get into all that other ritual stuff that the travelers do. You know, they really have weird stuff to do.
I'm like, wow. Can you elaborate on what you mean by that?
Well, they have, like, if somebody's sick, they have a ritual that they do, or, like, they say they put curses on people, and I'm like, oh, are you serious, you know? Because there were some, I met a couple of gypsy people where I was playing at a place in Pittsburgh called Gypsy Cafe. And some of them gypsies came in. I looked over, I seen them, I told the guys, I said, they're gypsies, they gotta be. And I just, by the way, you looked at them. So I went over and I started talking with them, sure enough. And then the one girl comes and she said, this place gave me a bad vibe when I come in. Like, why? She said, I just feel something. I'm like, okay, those are those kind of gypsies. And that's what stereotypes gypsies, but not all gypsies are like that. You know? And they really stereotype us as being that way, but we're not. You know, they have different rituals, they have different traditions, you know, than what we do. We're more the music stuff, like from Hungary, Slovakia, Romania. You know, and there, some of them are Romanian gypsies that do that stuff, and me, but some of them are horse traders, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But we try not to, you know, get involved in that stuff. I don't. These guys don't either. You know, so.
I'm wondering about the women in your family. Do they play music?
No.
Why not?
It just never did. I don't know why. I mean, there's not too many women that get into it. I mean, we have, within our gypsy community, we had women that were singers, that were very good singers. In fact, there's a gypsy boy. He's in Las Vegas. His name is Justin Chandler. And he's an Elvis impersonator. But if you look at him, I swear he was a young Elvis. Singer, excellent. Excellent singer. You gotta look him up, he's on YouTube. Justin Chandler. Excellent player. Sings great, just like Elvis. Same thing. So we have guys like that, then we have jazz people. But the women, we have women that sang, but none of them played really. They used to, I think there was one band maybe, I think it was in the 30s. They were all women. One played violin, bass, and, you know, cymbalum and all that stuff. That was in the 30s. There hasn't been nobody since then. I don't know why. You know.
And how do you see this culture of music continuing in the future?
Well, we'll see how long. I don't know how long it's going to last because there's not that many musicians left.
Are younger generations learning this kind of music?
Younger generations, they're playing the modern music. You know, like the R&B, the jazz, the stuff like that. They just never learned to play the Hungarian gypsy style music. You know, like what we play. And, I mean, there is a few young guys that are playing violin that are learning. You know, but the only problem is they need somebody that's going to teach them the right way to play it. You know? If they just like play by themselves, forget about it. But I don't know how long it's going to last. I mean, it's slowly fading away. You know, we're just trying to keep it going. You know, see what, you know, what happens. But I mean, more and more now that I've been playing in different restaurants and we've been doing a lot of strolling. A lot of people are calling us to book us. They want, like, it says gypsy music, they call it, you know. So we go and we stroll and we play what we play and they like it. So it's, American people are catching on to it, but it's still not. Even in Europe, it's fading away, they said. You know, we got friends over there, musicians, and they said it, they leave Hungary, they go to Germany, or they'll go to Japan to play, or they'll go to the Netherlands, they may go to the Netherlands to play. So.
Do you teach?
No. I don't have the patience to teach. I've been asked several times. There was a couple of like, little kids wanted to learn. Their parents called me, and then we had like two girls that come into the restaurant and play. They played violin. They wanted to study this. And I says, no, I thought about it. You know, then I thought again. I taught my nephews. Two of my nephews plays. One plays bass, and the other one plays drums. So I taught my nephew bass. But I was pretty hard on him when I was teaching him, you know, because I wanted him to learn the right way, you know. I said, before you even play an instrument, you're going to learn everything on the instrument first, you know. So I taught him everything, then I taught him all the notes, I taught him all the songs. He still remembers them. He doesn't play bass today, but he still remembers. He's a percussionist, so. But everybody in the family's musician, you know.
What do you think, like people who play gypsy music and like people who listen to it, like get from it? Like, what did you get from it? And also, what do you think is lost by like the fact that this generation isn't playing?
Well, I mean, I get enjoyment from playing because I've been playing it all my life. And the other people, I think it's just like the exotic. Songs and stuff that they hear, and it's just the way you play, you know. They hear like this group I have in Pittsburgh also. They're younger guys, and we play together in a group that's really great. I mean, they play together, and people come here and they say, man, you guys are really good musicians, you know, and it's just, you know, the way it is today, it's just the other gypsy boys that are playing jazz and R&B and that, they come and hear us, and they're like, oh man, that's great, I wish I would have learned. Okay, well, why didn't you? Your father played, your uncles played. You should have got interested in it, but they went a different way because they just says that they didn't think they would be able to make it playing this kind of music. So that's why I steered away to different genres of music. You know, like somebody calls me up and says, hey, I got a jazz gig, or I got a Latin gig, you know, can you play bass, or I got a wedding, can you play violin or whatever? I said, sure. So, you know, today you have to do that. It's not like it was. It's a shame, too. You know, it was pretty big up until, like, maybe the early to late 80s. Then it started diminishing down more and more and more. But there's nothing you can do about it. You know. That's why we try to keep the tradition going, but it's getting tough. We all live in different states. I live in Pittsburgh. These guys are from Michigan. Then the other guy that plays for us, he's from Chicago. So we all try to get together and play. We play together at least probably 5, 6, 7 times a year. We try to do that. So we see what happens, but that's about it. You know, we don't get too much. They play steady too in Michigan. You know, so.
You mentioned that you play at the Gypsy Cafe. In
we used to, yeah.
Oh, you used to? What do you do now?
Well, I was in Gypsy Cafe for 7 years. We played every week there. Now I play on Thursdays on the north side of Pittsburgh, a place called Hussars. It's a Hungarian place. Now since we've been playing there, other restaurants are calling us to play. Because they heard us, and so we just played at another place in Homestead. It's they serve American, but they serve Hungarian food too. But then there's a Mediterranean place called Meza in Pittsburgh. And we played there about a month ago, and they've been bugging us. They want us to play again. They want us to play again. So we're going to play there, I think, on the 17th of this month. So, you know, it's a little tough in the restaurants, you know, but, well, you know, because, like, we like to stroll around the tables and play for requests. And some places you can't do that, you know, or the owner won't allow it. Then the people say, hey, come over and play. You can't. So the people get a little annoyed at you, you know. But this place we just played at in Homestead, it was perfect. I mean, we went all around. People were singing. They loved it. So it was pretty cool.
And what band is this that you play with in
Pittsburgh? They're called Gypsy Strings.
Oh, it's Gypsy Strings. Okay.
Yeah. I keep the name Gypsy Strings for these guys and for the guys.
Okay. You know, so
it's easiest. I don't want to go by my name. He says, oh, no, nah, we'll just get a name. You know, it's easiest. We even got a website now, too.
Yes, that's crazy.
Facebook. That's where everybody sees where we're playing, and I'll post pictures. And I don't do nothing else on it because people are too nebby on Facebook. You know, so I just post everything about music.
Plan what songs you're gonna play ahead of time, or do you go song by song?
That's your usually. Yeah. Not usually. Here tonight, I had a whole program ready, but then the guy that was playing cymbalum for us, he got hurt yesterday. So he calls me yesterday afternoon. He says, George. I says, yeah. He says, Alex. I said, hi, Alex. He says, what's up? He says, well, I'm in the hospital. And I'm like, yep, he says, and they won't let me out for a couple of days. I'm like, oh. So there's another guy that plays that's going to play with us tonight. He's Ukrainian, and he lives in Cleveland. He's great, great cymbal player, too. So I called him yesterday. I says, his name is Alex, too. So I said, Alex, are you playing tomorrow? He says, no, I got to work tomorrow. I said, Bob, what about the evening? He says, why? What's the matter? I says, well, the other Alex, he can't make it. He says, what happens? I'm telling him. He says, sure, I'd be honored to play with you. I says, okay, great. So he's going to come tonight. To film. We'll see how it goes.
Have you played with them before?
Oh, yeah, I've played with them before. It's just these guys, you know, they... See, this is, I have to define the music, because when I play with these guys, I play certain stuff. Then when I play with my guys in Pittsburgh, I play certain stuff. So I gotta...
What's the difference?
Well, the guys in Pittsburgh, we play more technical stuff. You know, fast music a little bit. But it's almost the same thing. But they play a little bit different, because they're not gypsy musicians. But they play close to the gypsy way, but still not the way I would want it. But they play great. And these guys play the real gypsy way. Yeah, so. Chrissy is actually a drummer, so. But he plays bass too. He's going to play with us. Nobody wants to play. We call other bass players that play data. No, we don't want to play. We don't want to go out. That's the other thing. Guys are lazy. They don't want to get out. They don't want to play.
Going back just a little bit, I don't think I caught how you all three met, or how did you guys all three start playing together?
Us three?
Yeah.
I knew Willie for a long time. I knew him probably since I was about 12 years old.
Okay.
And when he played in Detroit, I used to go back and forth with my brother and out to Detroit. So my uncle was already living in Detroit. He's from Pittsburgh. So he used to tell these guys, you're going to hear my nephew play. You're going to hear my nephew. So they said, well, how old is he? He says, I don't know. He's like 12, 13. I'm like, what? He says, you got to hear him play. It's really good. So I went there one time. They were rehearsing for a concert. There was like 15 guys. So I'm sitting here and listening to him or whatever. So then the bass player goes and tells the other guys, these guys want to hear him play? He says, who? Him. Me. So I got up and I start playing, and ever since then, we're all friends. You know, then Billy's, then the one guy, I was like 18, the one guy that was playing with them, he was playing in Windsor, Ontario, Canada, at a place called Blue Danube Restaurant. They were playing 5 days a week. So he calls me and says, I need a violin player. He says, you want me to come? I said, yeah. So I went out there, and I lived out there for 9 years. I mean, nine months, not 9 years. Then I got homesick, you know. So I stayed out there for 9 years, and I played. And Billy used to come all the time to the restaurant, you know, and And then we all start playing together, and we did concerts together. And he gets gigs in Detroit or whatever he calls me, if I get anything. He came to Pittsburgh for the first time in probably 50 years. About 2 months ago, he came there to play. I called him to play, you know. And I took the Mirage, showed him where he used to live. He wanted to go there and all that. So he was pretty happy about that. And we just started playing together, you know. And usually when I get jobs like that, I call these guys. They know the stuff. I mean, I don't have to teach them, hey, you know, let's rehearse this. And they catch everything pretty quick, you know. So you'll hear tonight. It's good. Might be a little mistake, you know, because four of us, you know, this other guy, we didn't play with him. They didn't play with him, so I'm trying to tell them how he plays, you know. Okay. So. But I did this thing for over 2 years ago. It was just two of us that played 2 years ago, not four of us. Yep.
So did you have like a pre-present Romani
King
when you were
growing up? Oh yeah. Like I said, all the Romani King, they were all in Braddock, Pennsylvania, Homestead, Pennsylvania. So primarily it was like all family practically, you know. There was hundreds of families, you know, that lived there. And then they all stayed until like the last family moved out of Braddock, PA, probably in like 1973, you know. But I still live in Homestead. You know, there's only like maybe four families there, Romani families that stayed there. Everybody else, they moved like to Chicago, like I said, Detroit, Cleveland, you know. But it was a big community. And they were well known there, like in the two little cities. Everybody knew who they were. Because like when they would have a funeral, they would march, all the musicians, you'd have maybe, you know, 100 musicians marching in the street behind the hearse playing, you know, to get to the church and all that stuff. So it was nice then. There's even some movies about that stuff. No sound. But yeah, there was a lot of people.
And how would you say like music was related to like that formation of community?
Well, they played traditional stuff. You know, they played the older style. You know, compared to the way the guys play today, they weren't studied musicians. So I mean, the way they play is the way they play, but they were good. You know what I mean? And they played all the time though back then, because there was always something going on, like almost every day, in a club or a picnic or something. So they played all the time. You know, they would travel. Like I said, they would go from Braddock to Homestead, Homestead to Braddock, the musicians. So it was pretty nice. I mean, you know, I hear stories all about it. Then they tell me stories about my grandfather, you know. Oh, your grandfather used to come to Braddock from Homestead. And I never knew him. Neither one of my grandfathers. They died before I was born. And, but I've heard recordings and stuff. I got tons and tons of recordings.
How would you say the community is now?
It's not real big. A lot of the Romani that were in Michigan, a lot of them moved to Las Vegas. Somebody moved to Florida, you know, and so there's still families there, but they get together here and there, you know, like if there's a wedding or something. There's a bunch of, but they don't have like, they very seldom have Romani music. They play all this, you know, R&B and all this stuff like that. Only if we would go play, you know, then they would have it. So. But they still get together, you know. In Chicago, there's not a lot, but there is some. Cleveland, there's not too many, you know. So the community really diminished quite a bit.
Did you ever experience any discrimination from being identifying as
There's some people, there are some people that will discriminate. You say, I'll say, what nationality are you? I'll say, American. You know? No, where did your family come from? I say, they came from Pennsylvania. You know, I beat around the bush. And I finally tell them, you know what I am. Oh, that's great. And some people will be in there and say, oh, I guess you had covered wagons and all that. I says, no. You know, covered wagons and stuff. You know, it's them travelers that do that. I says, we're not that kind of thing. Oh, okay. But there is this discrimination. But, you know, nowadays, it's not like that. A couple of years, say like 10 years ago, it was like that. But now it's, I mean, when you tell somebody, like when we're playing at the restaurant and people come in and say, oh yeah, we got the Gypsies playing, it's so great, you guys are great, you know, and all this. So they really like appreciate it, which is, it's good for us, you know. And we don't deny it, you know. I never deny it. Well, you are what you are. Whether you're Italian, German, Irish, Gypsy, whatever.
I'm Irish.
Are you?
Yeah.
Mudro.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Scottish?
Oh, my family's been here for hundreds of years. So, long ago, German, Scottish, English, French.
Irish?
French.
Oh.
My parents were born in Taiwan.
Taiwan? Great, great. So you got every nationality. That's great.
That's great.
And we play almost every nationality too.
Have you traveled abroad and played some music?
Yes, I played in Canada. Mm-hmm. I was there for 9 months, and I played, like I said, I went to Slovakia.
Right.
You know, I was asked to come back to play for Slovakia, but I didn't go. But I think next year we're going to Hungary. And in fact, there was a guy that he's the director of a big orchestra in Hungary called the 100-Piece Gypsy Orchestra. And it's a big, they travel all over the world, or world renowned, you know. And he thought that I was just in Hungary. So at 2 o'clock in the morning, I get a message on my phone from Messenger. It's him. He's like, oh, he said, brother. He says, You're in Hungary. He says, call me. He says, so I called him. I says, I'm not in Hungary. It's somebody else that's in Hungary from America. It's not me. Oh, too bad. He says, I want you to come to the concert, but I want you to play with the boys too for the concert. I says, no, I'm not there. Oh, too bad. He says, well, maybe next time. I says, yeah, maybe next year. He says, okay, sounds good. So I don't know how he found out, but... But yeah, I traveled there, but I haven't gone to anywhere else. You know, we'd like to, but, you know, it's just hard. I mean, I played all over the United States, like I said. You know, we played in, we did concerts at Minnesota State College. 2 concerts we did for them, and it was pretty nice. You know, and like I said, we played all over. These guys have been all over too. Billy's 86. He gets around like he's 50. Unbelievable.
Can you talk a little bit? I don't know if you'd be able to explain this in words, but what do you mean when you say the Gypsy way compared to the other band that you say? They're also really good, but they're not quite Gypsy.
There's a certain style that you play.
What do you mean by that?
Your interpretation of a song, style. It's hard to explain. I have to show you. But they're close. I mean, it's just like the feeling of the song, the way they play it. You know, like it's like if you hear something and you'll hear this singer sing it, and you'll hear this singer sing it, and it's completely different. So that's what I mean, you know?
Yeah.
So when you hear these guys play it, when you hear these other guys play it, it's slightly different. The rhythm, you know, the feeling of the song. I'm not saying they're not good. I mean, they're great. You know, but they're starting to learn. They never played with anybody. They played the style and stuff that I'm playing. So I'm more or less teaching them. And the one kid, he's a... The one kid, the bass player, he teaches music in a big school there in Pittsburgh. He's a bassist, great bass player. And he wrote a thing about me on Facebook, and he said, George is the best teacher that anybody can have because he teaches you without you knowing that he's teaching you something. You know? I'm like, wow, thanks. He said, it's true. He said, I play with other guys. He says, they'll just like, you know, do this, do that. He says, you do it in a way where you're teaching us stuff, but you're not letting us know that you're teaching us, you know, but you are teaching us. So, and I mean, they're good guys. They listen. They play great. But it's just slightly different style. You know, but I like it. It's
good. So you mentioned, like, that some people like the, like, exotic sound and also, that stereotype you mentioned. So how do you feel like, or do you feel like there's any sort of like stereotyping that happens like when you play music that other people perceive, or like how is there like stereotypes associated with music that you're coming up with?
I don't know if there is or not. I mean, there's people that come to hear us play that, like if there was European gypsies that came from Europe, and they would hear us, and they would probably say, yeah, they're close, but we're originals, you know? So they stereotype you as not them, you know, you're not them. But then there are, I've played gigs where there was a European gypsy band that was there. And I got up and I played with these other guys, and I started playing. So they come up to me, and they start talking Hungarian. So I start talking to them a little bit, you know. Then I start talking English, and they talk perfect English. So they says, when did you come over that you forgot how to speak Hungarian? I said, I didn't forget, I'm from America. He says, no, you can't be from America. He says, you play like us. You know, so they sort of, you know, but they've always done that. So I felt pretty nice about that, you know. But like I said, they're great over there in Europe. You know, they are an original. That's because they're from there in Europe, you know. And we learn on our own here. You know, we had nobody to teach us, really, this music. I used to listen to recordings and stuff, and that's how I learned. But then, like, Billy and them all, they says, yeah, but you play different than all the other violin players that we've had here in America that play Hungarian gypsy music and stuff like that. He says, you have the style like them guys are, again, the style. Them guys over there in Europe. So. And then they're starting to know who we are, you know, from Facebook and videos they've watched and that. So we become friends, I guess.
Do you ever try to like push back against stereotyping at all?
No. It doesn't work, you know. You try, but sometimes you just gotta go with the flow. You know.
A different How do you feel like music has helped you like grow as a person?
Well, I'm glad I have music because, you know, a lot of people they get into certain things, they get into drugs, they get into, you know, other stuff, and you know, and I never got into any of that stuff because I have my music. So for me, I've always played all my life. It kept me going, you know, my mind. And it's just a great feeling. If you're a musician, you would understand what I'm saying because it's just like, it's part of your life. You know, music's part of my life. So I've been doing this so long, it's just natural.
And you think that there's no... You mentioned how the younger generation is not learning this kind of music, and you don't teach. And so, what's your hope for the future with this music? I know you mentioned that it's dying out, but do you hope to keep it alive or pass it on?
As long as we can. You know, as long as we can keep it on. You know, it's just hard because, I mean, we've talked to younger guys. There are younger guys that are like maybe 18, 19 years old that are interested, but we don't live close together. So if we live close together, they can learn. And, you know, I even played at Gypsy Festival last year. I had Billy them. It was at Chicago. It was Gypsy Jazz Festival, actually. And it was a big place called the Green Mill. They had it for 2 days. And there's a kid there that's learning. He's learning violin. He's okay. And I even told him, I said, listen, if you want to learn how to play stuff the right way, come sit in with us, you know, and then you'll hear how we play it. And then, so that's what he did. He came out, he brought his violin, and he sat in, you know, and I told him I even had some books that I would send him. But, you know, there's nobody else. They all play piano, or they play drums, or guitar, or bass. So, it really, there's not too many violin players. They say it's the hardest instrument to play, so. But, yeah, it's tough.
Do you have maybe a best moment or experience playing music?
Yeah, I have several. I mean, when I went to Europe, I think it was one of the best times. I went to a festival, and I didn't tell anybody I was a musician. I went there with the band, you know, walking around. They had guys strolling around, and all of a sudden, one of the women that traveled with us, she went, "He's a musician, plays violin. I don't want to play." So the guys come over, and the guy's pushing the violin on, "Here, play, play." So I always started playing. I'm playing. All of a sudden, the whole thing was all crowded with people around us, clapping and everything. Oh, that was great. You know, so I really liked that. It was one of them. Then when I played in Canada, too, I liked that. I mean, we had all kinds of people. I mean, like in Pittsburgh, when we were playing at the Gypsy Cafe, we would get all kinds of musicians. We didn't know who they were. We're sitting in the audience, we're playing. There were symphony players coming in, opera singers. There was a guy that was the head of the opera. So the one time we got done playing, the guy was the head of the opera, he comes up and says, "I'd like to hire you guys." I said, "You want to hire us for what?" He said, "We're doing an opera called The Fledermaus." He says, "We want to incorporate you guys into the opera." I said, "Okay." He says, "Could you put a little program together?" And he says, "Maybe get some Hungarian dancers." And I said, "Sure, sure." So we did that, and we did the show. And the opera's going on, but it's time for us to come out. And he says, he announces us. We come out. We play. The dancers go on. We get a standing ovation. We got the standing ovation, you know. And the people said, "That was the best part of the opera. You guys, when we played." And then the Pittsburgh Symphony, there was guys coming to hear us. They hired us to play. You know, the group that I got in Pittsburgh, they hired us like 3 times to play. You know, they were doing concerts. Then in between the concerts in the lobby, we played. And then they had a big reception. We played for the reception. Then there was Pittsburgh Dance Ensemble. That was the weirdest one we played. It was very weird. They says, "Get some of your music, and we're going to incorporate modern dancing to it." I'm like, "Okay." So we put the music together, and then we go to rehearse, and it was like weird, but it was okay.
Is there anything else you'd like to try further down the line in your career, or are you happy just playing gypsy music, continuing to do what you do?
No, I'd like to get a, here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to put a group together that is willing to do tours, like to travel. Do like maybe a 3 month tour. Mm-hmm. And do another 3 month tour somewhere. It's hard, guys, to do that. The other guys that I have playing with me, they played, then they got married, and they had kids. Now they don't want to play. You know, which is understandable, you know. But that's what I'd like to do.
Like a musician?
I still want to do it. So we've talked about it with the group that I have in Pittsburgh, about doing something like a month and a half tour. We were asked already to do that, you know, and there's booking agents called us and said, hey, we'd like to meet you guys to a little tour to different cities, you know. We'll just do like a radius of maybe five cities, you know, and but we never got together. But these guys are, in fact, we're working on a CD also. So maybe once we do the CD, we'll talk about doing that. That's what I'd like to do. But it's kind of hard when you work too. So. I was working for Catholic cemeteries. It's like, so that's a switch. But, I've been there about 18 years.
Do you guys have any questions?
So you are, you said that you work for the Catholic Cemeteries Association. Can you speak to the role of religion in the, either your upbringing or present?
Catholics.
Yeah. Everybody?
Yeah. It is Catholic. Yeah, they're still like that. I mean, we all go to church and stuff, you know. And Catholic cemeteries are, how can I say, they're supposed to be religified, but they're not really. You know, they say they are. And, you know, we've called them out on a lot of stuff, you know, but, you know, they are what they are. I mean, they tell people certain stuff and whatnot.
We knew you when he first started out.
But I've been there like 18 years. But we're all Catholics, even Billy. Everybody.
You also were speaking about these Hungarian dancers who traveled with you a little bit. Did they learn their craft the way that an instrumentalist would learn it?
Well, they had instructors that came over from Hungary. And they taught them. Actually, they're all Duquesne University graduates. But when you see them dance, they look professional, very professional. And they had instructors, like I said, from Hungary come over, and they taught them dances. They still do. They still have that. And then there's another kid in, actually, he's Hungarian Gypsy, too, Richie Balash. And he's a dance instructor. He has his own group called Folk Factory. And they do different regions of Hungary, the dancing and stuff. Because I played with my group from Pittsburgh, and we started playing like some Romanian gypsy stuff. And he heard me playing, and he come running over. He goes, "We got to get together. We have to get together." He says, "I didn't know you played that stuff." I says, "Yeah." I says, "We learned this stuff, so you know." And he's from Hungary, you know, so he's teaching these kids, and they're great. I mean, they're really good. You know, so.
Was there ever a point in your life where you got sick of the violin?
Yes, there was. There was a time, this is about, say about 8 years ago, I just got tired of playing. Here's what was happening. I was working Monday through Friday, and then I was playing in a club. I would go Thursday, play in the club from 9 to 1. It was a salsa club. Get home at 3, get up at 6, go to work. Work all day, you know, cemetery. So I just got tired of this. That's it. I'm going to quit. I decided I was going to quit playing. And then this Gypsy Cafe gig come up. These guys call and they says, "Oh man," he says, "you know, we're going to play there." Like, man, I don't want to play no more. But then I says, "Okay, I'll try it." And I started playing with these guys, and that was it.
So,
I just kept playing.
Did you have a long break at all? Or?
No break. No break. And they're like, "You wasn't going to go play, were you?" I says, "Yeah, I was going to quit. You know, I just got tired of it." then you just get to the point where you're just tired, you know, and people, sometimes they build people like for weddings, for club gigs and all that, and they're a pain in the ass. I mean, oh. But I'm nice with them, you know, and everything, so we usually work good together. So I just got tired of all that. But I stuck it out. So now I tell my brother, he says, I don't know how you can work, then you travel all over the place playing. I says, listen, I'm going to play until they put me down there. I said, I'm not going to play. No. I said, I'm doing it now. I says, I'm done. I'm going to keep playing. I don't know. I couldn't do that. It's fine.
Do your siblings, have they held on to money, culture?
Yes. They still have their tradition. Yeah, I keep on. They don't play anymore. My brothers and that, you know. But they still keep the tradition, like the holidays and everybody gets together, and funerals and weddings and stuff like that. They still do that.
Where do they live? Do they live close? Or?
Yeah, they're close to me, Homestead. Which is 5-10 minutes away from each other. But we don't see each other that often. Everybody's busy, you know. But I try to keep in touch with everybody. I text my brother, text my nephew, you know. And my nephew always texts me everything, every week. Hi, Uncle, how are you? Is everything okay? You playing? I see you're playing a lot. And, you know, I says, yes, I'm playing along. I says, okay, great. That's it. You know, I just want to make sure everything's okay, you know. Yeah, I'm fine. I'm good, you know. In fact, he came out last Friday when we played at this restaurant. So he called me, he said, I'm coming out Friday. I says, are you? He says, yeah. He says, I get off of work. He works for Pitt University. So he says, I'll be down there after. I said, okay, so he'll come down. Spend a few hours. He had a couple drinks and ate some food. But yeah, they all keep the tradition. The food, too. Like, I'm sure you know about babushki and stuffed cabbage and paprikash and all that stuff. All the good stuff.
That is the good stuff.
I make all that stuff, too. Not very critical when I go like somewhere and just, oh, that's not good. You know, that stuff kind of did some no good. How did they make that paprikash? Wow. I was playing at a place called Eighth Wonder. And the woman, she was Hungarian and her husband was Slovak. So she says, George, I think I'm going to put chicken paprikash on the menu. So great. I said, I got one question for you. Are you going to use store noodles? Are you going to make traditional dumplings? She said, oh, no, traditional dumplings. I said, okay, great. So the next day, I come into the restaurant, and she says, come in the kitchen. I want to show you something. Okay. She goes in the refrigerator, pulls out this plastic thing, pulls off. It was the dumplings. She says, here, try it. Let me know what you think. I said, oh, it's great. I said, it's so, yeah, everything's traditional. These guys like that, too, with the food. I mean, there's a good Hungarian restaurant in Michigan called The Rhapsody. It's very authentic. The guys from Hungary, you know. We played there 4 or 5 times, maybe more. You know, so, and they have good food, very good food. If you get the right people to make it, it's good. You get desserts, too. They have the custard dessert. It's called kremesh. It's like, I forget what kind of custard it is. But we played a job one time, and this little old Hungarian woman come over, and she says, oh, I made these today, fresh. I says, I don't want them. She says, you have to eat it. I'm like, okay. So she put it in front of me, so she's standing there looking at me. So the other guys, the musicians are there, she gave them. She said, you boys, you gotta eat this, you gotta try it, let me know. It was the best I've ever tasted. It was delicious. So I got up and I kissed her on the cheek. I said, it was great. She says, I'll give you something to take home too. I'm like, this was in New York when we played. I'm like, oh, wow. But you gotta have good food, drinks too, you know, and it goes with good music. You know. But yeah, that's my enjoyment side. Music, food, drinks, you know. If the people are having a good time, the musicians are having a good time. You know? If you're playing for a crowd and nobody's like into it, you're like, oh boy. You know, what's up with this? You know? Just like, we just played Friday and these people were singing. We started doing stuff like from, I don't know if you know, Fiddler on the Roof. We started doing that kind of stuff, and the people were singing, you know, and some of them were my friends, you know, and some other people come on. But a friend of mine who's an opera singer, he sings Italian and he sings Irish stuff, you know. He come out, so I says, you have to sing. Oh, no, I don't want to sing. He says, you have to sing. He got up to sing, he blew the house away. You know, they loved him, you know, so. We have other people besides Roman musicians that come and sit with us, which is good. I mean, they says, do you know this? Sure, yeah, we know how to play that stuff. You know, worry about it. So, is there anything else?
I have one last question.
Okay.
Do you think that the Gypsy style can be taught to non-Gypsies?
Yes. Exactly.
Do you think the Gypsy style of playing music can be taught to non-Gypsies?
Sure.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. If they start from a young age or at any point?
It's just, it can be done. I'm still thinking about that. Because I talked to the other guy, Alex Rubetti, about it. And we're still thinking about it. So we'll see what happens in the next year or so. You know, it's just like the style. It would be like the style of playing that kind of music.
Yeah.
Hey, you can be taught. It's going to take a while, you know, for somebody that don't know, but it can be taught. You know,
you should teach.
Yeah, I'd like to. But I have to, you know, I don't want to teach, like, no little kids how to play violin. Just like the style, you know, stuff like that. I mean, I've seen little, like, this guy that's playing tonight, his daughter and his son, they're learning violin classical. And his son is just, he's been playing, I don't know, maybe a year or two. He's okay. But the little girl, she's great. I mean, I heard her play, and I looked at him. He goes, what? So he says, you know what? He says, I'm looking for a gypsy to teach them to play some gypsy music. He says, do you know of anybody? I looked at him. I says, I'll have to find out for you. And he busts out laughing. He says, I will pay your way to come to Cleveland to teach them if you want to do it. I says, you know what? I said, let them learn what they're learning first. You know? Then, you know, maybe a little bit down the road, I says, you know, I'll get together with him. He said, that would be great. But the girl, she's got good intonation, plays really good. The boy's going to be good too, but he's not quite as good as her. But she's really good. But they're learning at school. We got a little violin like this. We were at his house about a month ago because we had to play a job in Cleveland. So we went to his house. So he brings her violin over to me. He says, what are you doing? He said, I want to see if you can play it. Okay, I took it. I started playing it. You know, she goes like this. And says, and she's like, she says, Mr. George, you play great. I started laughing at her. I said, so do you, Sophia. You play very good. So.
I think we should wrap up. Yeah. Thank you so much for telling us.
No problem. Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much, George.